Our drama of the lie detector starts this evening in the city of Detroit. More specifically, it starts in the main office of the Detroit Waste Works Incorporated, an old established firm that specializes in the weaving and washing of shop towels and wiping cloths for the many industries in and about Michigan's big industrial centers. The general manager of the Detroit Waste Works is young Ronald E. Gallagher, son of the firm's president, Norman Gallagher. We first meet this father and son business team as they're seated at young Ronald's desk. They're looking in amazement at a soiled shop towel spread on the desk between them. There's a message written on that towel, a message in vivid scarlet that looks suspiciously like human blood.
What about it, Dad? Do you think it's some kind of a gag?
I'll pay $10,000 to anyone who'll get me out of here. Well, Ronnie, if that stuff's actually blood, it's a pretty serious gag.
There's some kind of a signature there, but I can't make it out. Can you?
Oh, it's smeared quite a bit. I can make out the initial G, and the rest is smudged. Ronnie, where'd this towel come from?
I can't be sure. Truck number 12 brought it in, but that driver made about 15 stops today. If this towel hadn't been on the top of a bundle when he was unloading, he might never have seen it.
Yeah, well, gag or no gag, I think we better turn this over to the... Say, wait a minute, Ronnie.
Yes, Dad?
Truck number 12. Isn't the mental hospital on his route?
Hey, I think it is. Then let me check his route.
Yeah, well, the way that message reads, I'll pay $10,000 to anyone who'll get me out of here.
You're right, Dad. Number 12 does cover the mental hospital.
Maybe we'd better run out there, Ronnie. One of their patients smeared up a towel with this message. The hospital officials will want to know about it.
Yeah. Besides, if this stuff is blood, it took a lot of it to write this message. Somebody might be in need of medical attention.
Some miles away at the mental hospital, head nurse Virginia Ellis was seated at her desk writing a letter. She was interrupted by a knock at the door of a small office.
Oh, yes. Mr. Ingalls.
Don't reach for that phone.
Well, I can't imagine what you're doing down here on the main floor, Mr. Ingalls.
If you reach for that phone, I'll kill you. Bandage my hand, Miss Ellis.
Bandage your...
Yeah, come on.
Good heavens. Your hand is badly cut, isn't it?
I cut it on a razor.
A razor? You're not supposed to have a razor.
I borrowed it from the janitor while he was out. See, I still have it, Miss Ellis.
Don't. Don't come near me with that, please.
I'll hold it in my left hand while you bandage my right hand. You see, I don't want you to telephone or scream or do anything that'll let them know where I am, Miss Ellis.
But they'll find you, Mr. Ingalls. They'll discover that you're not in your room.
I locked the doors to the main corridor.
Oh.
You see, I don't think anyone will come.
Does your hand hurt much?
No, not just two fingers, but I can't let him go on bleeding like this.
No, of course you can't. I have some antiseptic bandage right here in my desk.
Don't take anything else out of that drawer. Don't try any hypodermic needles.
I have nothing but the bandage. Why are you so suspicious of me, Mr. Ingalls?
After the way they railroaded me into this place, I'm suspicious of everyone in the world.
Yes. Here, hold your right hand up, please.
Miss Ellis, would you like to make $10,000?
Goodness, is there that much money in the world? Oh, hold your hand still, please.
I have a lot more than that.
Have you?
At least my wife has. She got every cent I own when she signed the commitment that locked me up in this place.
But you are sick, Mr. Ingalls. Mrs. Ingalls acted on the advice of mental specialists and legal counsel, I'm sure.
She acted on the advice of her own malicious scheming. She cooked up that legal deal to commit me for the sole purpose of getting rid of me, of getting possession of everything I owned.
If you want me to fix your hand, Mr. Ingalls, you'll have to hold it still.
When I get out of here, I'll get everything back if I have to wring it out of Dorothy's neck. And 10,000 of it will be yours for helping me to escape, Miss Ellis.
Oh, but I'm not going to help you to escape, Mr. Ingalls.
Are you foolish enough to pass your own death sentence?
Are you foolish enough to try to kill me?
I say I am. Remember, I've been committed as a dangerous maniac. It won't surprise anyone if I kill you, Miss Ellis. If they find you with your throat cut, all they'll do is take me back to my room and lock me up. You see, I won't be a bit worse off than I've been for the last 10 months. But you'll be a lot worse off, won't you, Miss Ellis?
Mr. Ingalls, don't you realize that you're here because you're ill? Don't you understand that we're all trying to help you? I've been your friend, Mr. Ingalls. I can't believe that you deliberately take the life of someone
you're
who wants to
like
help you.
You're just like all the rest, aren't you, Miss Ellis?
I beg your pardon?
Professional charm that you turn on at will. Carefully studied psychology calculated to calm a person as you might calm a child. But you don't mean a word of it. You hate me and you hate every patient in this whole institution.
Mr. Ingalls,
you don't care what happens to me or any other patient. Look at me, Miss Ellis.
Don't. Please don't.
I want your key to the nurse's entrance. The key that will let me walk right through the nurse's corridor to the freedom of the outside world.
I won't give it to you.
Then I'll have to take it. I want that key, Miss Ellis. And I want it now.
Mr. Ingalls.
Miss Ellis! Good luck. Miss Ellis! In here, bring the stretcher in here and hurry it up!
When his fingers closed on my throat, I thought he was going to... I must have lost consciousness, Dr. Shore.
You did a very foolish thing, Miss Ellis. Resisting him was a very brave thing to do, and you thought it was for the best, of course. Who's to say what any of us would do when faced with a frenzied maniac?
Well, if this is all the thanks I'm going to get, believe me, the next
Forget
time
Forget it, Miss Ellis. On my oath as superintendent of this hospital, there won't be any next time. I'll have every floor so rigidly guarded that... Oh, by the way, this is Mr. Ronald Gallagher of the Detroit Waste Works.
Mr. Gallagher?
I'm sorry we didn't get here sooner, Miss Ellis.
Mr. Gallagher's firm supplies the towels used down in our maintenance shop. One of them was returned with a message from George Ingalls written in blood. An offer $10,000 to anyone who'd help him escape from this place.
$10,000? Well, that's the same amount he offered me. And... his hand was cut.
If we only discovered the towel earlier, we might have been able to get here in time and stop him from attacking you, Miss Ellis.
A message written in blood, and George Ingalls tried to convince me that he's mentally sound.
Well, at least that bandaged hand and the description we've given the newspapers and the police ought to help someone to recognize him. I don't think he'll be at liberty very long.
Now that he's gotten out of here, just how dangerous do you think he'll be, Dr. Shore?
It's hard to say. I don't believe an authority lives who can predict with any degree of certainty just which direction a sick mind might take. To be very frank with you, I've never been able to place George Ingalls' illness in any of the common clinical categories, such as epileptic psychosis, dementia praecox, or feeble-mindedness.
Do you mean there's some question in your mind as to whether or not the man is sane?
Well, at times he has shown definite reactions that verge on insanity.
Haven't we all?
Other times he's been as rational as you and I. However, we don't pretend to make diagnoses here. That legality is attended to before a patient is committed.
Do you ever recommend release?
On occasion, yes. But in most instances, that too is handled legally by the same board that arranged the commitment.
In other words, if that board was susceptible to politics and graft, a perfectly normal person might be committed here and salted away for quite some time.
Mr. Gallagher, what are you suggesting?
Nothing. It just happens that I remember reading about the George Ingalls case. His wife engaged Alan Overmeyer, didn't she?
Overmeyer? I believe that was the attorney's name, yes.
Well, my firm has had some dealings with Overmeyer. He's a pretty sharp political shyster.
Mr. Gallagher, I'm in no position to question the integrity of the board which committed George Ingalls.
Well, no, I'm not either. I was just thinking out loud, that's all. But it seems altogether too easy to pronounce someone insane, it seems to me. You admit that George Ingalls might be considered a borderline case, don't you?
Well, yes, he might be referred to in that manner. He showed all...
Well, personally, I don't think any specialist in the country can diagnose the human mind accurately enough to know the boundaries of that very thin line between sanity and insanity.
You know, you surprise me, sir.
I wouldn't expect a businessman to have such perception.
As a businessman, I hire my employees. If I hired nothing but normal human beings, my business would probably go along on an even day-to-day keel. But it's the screwballs I've hired that come up with all the ideas that meet competition and keep the business booming all the time.
Well, that's a very interesting observation, one that I shall take up at the next meeting of the...
I beg your pardon, Dr. Shaw.
Oh, yes, Lawson, come in.
That fellow just came back from the lab.
Yes?
That message wasn't written in human blood at all.
What?
But his hand was cut.
His hand might have been cut, but that message was written in some kind of red ink. There's something else screwy, too, Dr. Shaw.
Well, what next?
We checked his handwriting out at the registration desk, and we're all agreed that George Ingalls never wrote the message on that towel.
But good Lord, man, then who would write it? Who would put... Say, what's going on here anyway?
Alan Overmeyer. I presume you've heard about George Ingalls.
Sure, I've heard, but no thanks to you or the police. I had to learn it from the newspapers.
Well, it didn't occur to me that you'd be concerned over it, Alan.
Concerned over it? Mrs. Ingalls is my client, isn't she?
Yes, but you got your commitment. This escape is a matter for the authorities.
Bare your brains, man. Mrs. Ingalls' life is in danger every second. That maniac husband of hers is on the loose.
Acting on the ominous warning of Attorney Overmeyer, a heavy police guard was set up around the suburban home of Mrs. George Ingalls. At her attorney's insistence, Mrs. Ingalls was not notified of her husband's escape from the mental hospital, nor was she informed of the guard outside. All precautions were taken to spare her any unnecessary anxiety. Perhaps such precautions were a mistake, because she was absorbed in a book when the door opened behind her. Had she been alerted, she might have run for help and still be alive today. The blunt instrument which crushed her skull fell completely without warning. It was sometime in the very dark hours before dawn that I was awakened from a sound sleep in my Chicago apartment. It took me some time to realize that my door buzzer was ringing. And in a somewhat dazed condition, I put on a robe and slippers and staggered to the door. Such things as this had happened to me before when an unexpected emergency had come up at the lie detector laboratories. But if I hadn't been so drugged by sleep, I might have wondered why they didn't use the phone. Oh, hello. A tall, heavy-set man was standing before me with a bandaged hand. The other hand held a gun.
You have no idea how glad I am to find you at home, Mr. Keeler.
Well, your chances were pretty good. I'm not usually running around town at this hour.
I hope it won't be necessary for me to use this gun.
Now, that's strange. You're echoing my thoughts to a letter.
I suppose you wonder why I'm here at this hour.
Yes, some such question did occur to me for a fact. As a matter of fact, I'm wondering who you are and why you're here at all.
My name is George Ingalls. My plane just got into Chicago from Detroit.
Ingalls. Haven't I heard that name?
I suppose so. It was in all the papers about 6 months ago.
George Ingalls. Yes. It was in last night's papers, too, I believe. Didn't you escape from a mental institution in the last day or two?
Yesterday noon.
Well, the authorities would be glad to know you've decided to give yourself up in my custody.
You're trying to be funny, don't. I don't like that kind of humor.
But I can't imagine any other reason why you'd come here.
And you haven't very much imagination, Mr. Keeler.
I remember reading about your commitment to the hospital. At the time, I wondered if you were, as you claimed, the victim of a legal plot, but now I'm not so sure. Anyone who murders is very apt to be insane, at the time of the murder, anyway.
Are you suggesting that I'm a murderer?
The paper says you are. Here it is. Right here. They say you killed your wife last night.
What? Let me see that.
It's a very thorough job, George.
I didn't go near that house. I didn't. There.
Must run in your family, George. Your wife was absorbed in a book when she was killed. You were absorbed in a newspaper when I took your gun away from
you. Mr. Keeler, let me tell you why I came to you.
Well, now that I have the gun, I can listen with a great deal more poise and confidence.
You are the only one who can prove that I'm not insane.
I've read about that polygraph of yours. If I'm out of my mind, you'll get irrational reactions. You'll know I'm out of my mind, won't you?
Yes. If I were to test you on the polygraph, I'd know. At the time of the test, anyway, whether your mental reactions are normal or otherwise. But I must warn you, I'd also know whether or not you killed your wife.
Mr. Keeler, before you turn me over to the authorities, will you gamble with me to the extent of a lie detector test?
It's no gamble as far as the polygraph is concerned. The odds are all in favor of science, you know.
What about it?
You're pretty sure of yourself, aren't you?
Absolutely sure.
But I'll tell you what I'll do, George. I'll phone the authorities and tell them I have you.
No. Now, if they get their hands on
me... Now, just wait a minute. I'll get their permission to test you on the polygraph. If you run a clean test with me, I'll fight your case at my own expense. I'll engage my own attorney to defend you.
You have that much confidence in the lie detector?
I have. If you have just as much confidence in your sanity and innocence of any crime, you have nothing to worry about.
I have nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing, Mr. Keeler.
All right, George. Just hand me that telephone, please. It's right behind you. Well, hello, Harry.
Huh? Say, who are you?
You are Harry Williams, aren't you?
Sure. But I don't know you.
Well, my name is Keeler, but I don't suppose that means anything to you, does it?
No. No, it don't.
Well, that's all right. It's unimportant anyway. The important thing is, you drive truck number 12 for the Detroit Waste Works, don't you?
Yeah, well, ain't that obvious, mister? I mean, there's 12 plastered all over it, ain't there?
Yes, so there is. Now, tell me, Harry, you pick up and deliver towels at the mental hospital, among other places, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Now I get it. You're another investigator on that case, huh?
Well, let's just say unofficial investigator.
Yeah, well, then I ain't got no time, mister. I already had enough of the official kind.
Harry, would you be willing to take a lie detector test about that towel you brought in?
Lie detector test? Hey, you the Keeler?
Yes. Now that we're properly acquainted, let me suggest that if you refused such a test, it might look as though you're hiding something from the police, Harry.
Oh, well, what have I got to hide? I found a towel in my truck.
Over at the plant, they manufacture towels with different coloring, don't they?
Huh?
Well, I mean, some of them have red borders, some are yellow, some are blue, I believe.
Yeah, well, what about it?
Well, the writing on that towel was done with red dye, Harry, the same red dye you have access to at the plant.
Now, wait a minute.
Who paid you to smear that message on that towel, Harry?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You'll take a lie detector test, I suppose.
Okay. So what if I did write that message? It was just a gag. How do you know I done it?
Just by checking your writing on some of the delivery slips. You didn't know how to spell Ingles, did you?
Huh?
Well, that's why you smeared the name. You didn't know whether it was spelled with an E or an I, did you?
Hey, you a mind reader or something?
Well, it would help in this business, believe me. Who paid you to fix up that towel gag, Harry?
What's it to you?
Oh, nothing, except there's a murder involved, you know, and murder is pretty serious.
Don't tell me they're going to try and hang that on me.
They might. If you don't help us out with all you know about this.
Now, look, all I did was go along with a gag. How did I know it was going to add up to a mess like this? How did I know?
How much were you paid?
$25.
Cash?
Yeah, I wouldn't take no check. What do you think, I'm nuts?
I'll reserve my opinion on that. Who paid you, Harry?
Oh, some guy named Alan Overmeyer. He was a lawyer or something.
Overmeyer, huh?
Yeah, he was some shyster with a big deal cooking. He didn't let me in on the details.
No, I can understand why. Well, thank you, Harry. It's been very pleasant chatting with you.
Hey, Tommy, what's with you guys from Chicago?
Hmm?
Do y'all talk like that? Do y'all come from Harvard or something?
Look, Keeler, you're out of your territory. Nobody invited you in on this case.
Well, being a lawyer, you ought to know better than that, Obermeyer. Do you think I'd be here in Detroit if I hadn't been invited?
Who invited you?
Your own district attorney.
Oh, well, what can I do for you?
Well, for one thing, you might tell me why you bribed Harry Williams to fix up that towel routine.
Williams? Did he...
Yes, he told me.
You work fast, don't you?
My rate is so much an hour, and I want your DA to get his money's worth.
Well, look, let me explain about that towel deal.
I wish you would. I'm quite curious about that.
Well, you have no idea what a time I've had keeping Ingalls in that hospital. Every month, his wife was after me to get him a new hearing to see if he'd been cured.
Is that so? I was under the impression that she wanted him in there for good.
Well, that's just a figment of his imagination. He thought everyone was out to get him, including his wife. And the guy's as loony as a doodlebug.
You think he had a persecution complex, huh?
The worst kind. It almost broke his wife's heart to send him away and try to cure him. And that whack hated her for it.
Well, to get back to the towel, Obermeyer...
Oh, yeah, the towel. Well, I wanted her to be convinced that he was nuts, so she'd quit trying to spring him all the time and give me some peace. I just rigged that stunt up to make her think he was wackier than ever.
His cut hand was a happy coincidence for you, was it?
What? There wasn't any coincidence. I knew he cut his hand when he stole the janitor's razor. That's why I pulled the towel gag when I did. Get it all tied together, see? If that nut hadn't escaped from the place and bludgeoned his wife to death...
By the way, you were pretty close to Mrs. Ingalls, weren't you, Obermeyer?
Sure. Sure, I was close to her. I was a lawyer, after all.
She paid you pretty well, didn't she?
What do you think?
Did she mention you in her will?
Now, look, Keeler, I'll take just so much from you, and now...
Will you take a lie detector test from me?
You're putting me in a spot, aren't you?
It'll look bad if you refuse, won't it, Obermeyer?
I won't refuse. Ingalls is the crazy one, not Alan Obermeyer.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Oh, Mr. Keeler, come in.
Yes, I've brought a visitor to see you, Miss Ellis.
Mr. Ingalls, I'm awfully glad to see you.
I'm sorry. Sorry I did what I did, Miss Ellis.
Oh, I understand how those things happen. That's why we're here. We want to help, you know.
I'll cooperate from now. I want to be helped, you know.
I'm sure you do.
Mr. Keeler tells me I murdered my wife.
Let's not talk about it, shall we?
The lie detector shows I'm unstable, Miss Ellis.
You're just ill, Mr. Ingalls. But you'll get well if you want to get well.
At first, I didn't believe the lie detector, but when I learned that my fingerprints were the only ones on that ashstand, if only the police guard had gotten there before I did.
Let me try to explain something to you, George. Everyone who commits a patient to a mental institution, from the examining psychiatrist to the judge who signs the commitment, is doing what he or she thinks best for the patient and for society. The high-tensioned age we live in demands a lot of our nervous systems and takes a great toll of our mental powers. To be mentally ill is not the fault of the patient. It's the fault of a world that's becoming more and more complex. Too complex for human understanding.